This is a recording of ISIS International from the Global NGO Forum on Beijing Plus 15, held in New York in February 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
I've been charged with the daunting task of speaking on behalf of a region that comprises 53 member states. The good thing is that we have a lot in common, nonetheless, so whatever I will be reflected in my presentation will be true of all of us who come from that region. The thinking amongst women in women NGOs within the region is that we must stay focused on the critical areas. Because if we don't, we might just become, you know, go back to square one, where the big question was, what do women want? So for that reason, I thought perhaps the best way to give an idea of what's going on in our country was actually to do it systematically, looking at the critical areas, and so to speak, sharing with you what prevails at this particular moment, and of course then the gaps which have been, you know, enumerated over the last 2 days are the same, basically, but just touching on those points. So I'll start then on the optimistic note that undoubtedly over the last 15 years, and in particular within the last 5, significant developments have occurred in the African region in the domain of gender equality and equity, as well as women's rights. That said, it has to be admitted that unfortunately, the success stories are still greatly outweighed by harsh realities that prevailed 15 years ago, even before the 15 years. A quick overview then, as I said, of what the case today within the 12 critical areas of concern bears testimony to this. Concerning the area of women and poverty, economic empowerment, tragically, abject poverty remains not only rife, but highly feminizing the whole of Africa, essentially because of patriarchy, which yesterday we got a very, very deep insight about, and other cultural determinants that prohibit the majority of women from accessing land, as we said, okay, capital, information, knowledge, technology, and productive resources, with dire consequences on their welfare and advancement. The status quo therefore persists, basically because minimal structural and ideological changes have occurred within the institutions tasked with the implementation of the agreed upon plans, strategies, policies, and legal provisions, factors that render service delivery weak, if not downright, impossible. With regard to education and training of women, it transpires that it's in this area that the biggest achievements have been registered, with pertinent policies having been put in place and substantial resources made available to ensure that not only the majority of children in Africa attain free basic education, but also to enable women and the girl child have access to training, tertiary education, and literary programs. This highly commendable turn of events has huge positive and definite implications on the increase of the numbers of educated women who will be qualified for meaningful employment, including in fields that are traditionally male-dominated. So this should be looked upon as a good practice. Notwithstanding, some challenges and inequalities still persist in this area. It's not like we have won the battle yet. In the domain of health and of women and health, what pertains in the region is that much as countries have generally put women's health and reproduction on their list of priorities, difficulties and challenges still abound. The most unrelenting of challenges revolve around poorly coordinated and sluggish responses to HIV/AIDS-related matters as they adversely affect women, and acceptable rates of maternal mortality and high rates of maternal mortality and morbidity. This situation is exacerbated by poor health services, chronic drug shortages, and you give the time, okay, I'll slow down. Various upsetting three men, I've been told to slow down, so I'll slow down. Okay. So then, I was to say, barriers to accessing free medication, inadequate family planning services, and grossly insufficient or total lack of information. All these factors play a positive role in gender discrimination, violation of women's rights, preventable deaths, and unnecessary loss of large amounts of funds. In addition, African governments are failing to effectively acknowledge that care given to chronically ill relatives, which rests squarely on the shoulders of women, prevents them from engaging in income-generating activities, thus hindering them from contributing financially to the household, further fueling the stereotypical perception that of women as being a liability and encumbrance to the family. On the issue of violence against women, regretfully, within many African communities, violence against women and girl child remains tolerated and accepted as a justified means of discipline and controlling wayward females and children. However, thanks to the tenacious and resilient activism of the civil society, African governments have now come to recognize violence against women and the girl child as a crime punishable by law. To that extent, legislation has been widely enacted, albeit still to various degrees of satisfaction and execution due to reasons such as lax legal systems, tedious, complicated and long-drawn processes, ignorance, costliness of legal services, and if... Pardon. Okay. Yeah. All right. And even skepticism about the notion itself. So the issue of violence, much as I think to be okay. Also at play is reluctance by women to press charges for fear of the perpetrator's economic dependence on them, and pressure from the abusive partners and relatives to withdraw the cases. The girl child is also inhibited from seeking recourse because of societal dictates that demand absolute deference, submissiveness, and obedience of minors towards their elders. As to women and armed conflict, the fact of the matter is that women caught up in war-torn zones and other forms of armed conflict suffer endless atrocities, indignities, and extreme deprivation of human rights. Equally tragic is that the magnitude of their plight remains speculative for lack of any comprehensive database. Fear of severe intimidation and brutal reprisals that include violent death, as well as shame and social stigma associated with certain forms of violence against women, such as rape, deter women from reporting the abominable and dehumanizing crimes perpetuated against them. Tragically, again, all these factors only serve to prohibit preventative and protective measures such as formulation of pertinent policies and enacting of pertinent laws. When it comes to power and decision making, the recent past has seen an impressive rise in the number of women in governing structures as well as in policy and decision-making positions. Just as awe-inspiring is that Africa, much as it is the poorest region, has outdone many countries that are wealthier and have a longer history of gender poverty, or in terms of awareness and enlightenment. In the political arena, for instance, women have been elected or appointed to the highest ranks of hierarchical structures as vice president, acting presidents, ministers and key ministers, attorney generals, speakers of parliament, with some countries by far surpassing the 30 female representation mark prescribed by the Beijing Platform for Action. We also know, of course, about the story in Liberia, and yesterday we had the first president of the Pan African Parliament was on Mrs. Mangela. The same trend is palpable within the public and private sectors. Conscious efforts continue to be made to increase the number of women in power and decision making. When it comes to institutional mechanisms, I will just suffice to say, I think that doesn't, as has been noted between yesterday and today, much as there are policies in place and there are legal frameworks in place, the big issue is still accountability and implementation, which is where actually the priority lies for Africa. Because of the same pace, you know, the patriarchy and the lack of accountability have a domino effect on the rest of everything. It dampens political will, which then has an effect on resources that are adverse, on capacity for analysis, and affecting implementation, and also creating the slow processes as they abound in the continent. There's also a question of women in the media. What we know is that much as there's much more exposure, especially within the last 5 years, women are still not in positions to influence the media in more ways than one. And the girl child, of course, there is still the big problem, as I alluded to earlier on, because of cultural constraint, children don't have a voice, and as such then, they are still very vulnerable and exposed to all kinds of atrocities. Basically then, one would say that for us in the region, the priority is to have the system that are put in place galvanized and speeded up, accelerated, so that the challenge is then to find means and ways and approaches that are innovative enough to achieve the goals that are set up by CEDAW as well as the Beijing Platform for Action. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Virginia.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.